Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for our salvation. We thank you. We're so thankful that we made it here safely. What a blessing. It's wet out there. Continue to be with those who are on their way. And I speak through your word by way of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go to our lesson here. Somebody tell me, what was the Sabbath school lesson about? The Sabbath school lesson about this week. Oh, yeah. Did you record that one? Oh, for real? Oh, yeah? Yeah, 2 weeks. Wonderful. Immorality on the border. Now, this is very, very... Now, this story to me is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating when we read what took place in Numbers. I questioned myself and I said, man, what kind of God is this? But we studied last night. We studied about the flood, remember? And last night... Man, God, when he wiped out those people, the world, God wasn't playing. Same thing when we look at the story in Numbers, what we'll study this morning. Let's go to Sunday's lesson here. Sunday's lesson is called Seduction. Wow, seduction. Sorry. Thank you so much. Seduction. Let's go to Numbers 25. Let's go to Numbers 25. Numbers 25. Feel free to comment, whatever you like. Is that Janice? Oh, I thought that was Janice. No. Numbers 25. Number 25, beginning of verse 1. Now really, really pay attention to this text. Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. This is where we get our word whore. Sexual immorality. Whore, prostitute, whatever you want to call it. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads, listen to this now. Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined to Baal Peor. What's going on here? What's going on? I can't hear you. Okay, worshiping idols. What else? What else is going on? God's judgment, of course. God's judgment. Exactly. What else? What do we learn about this in these few verses about leadership? Is there anything learned about leadership here? Uh-huh. Exactly. God holds leaders responsible. Now listen to this right here in Patriarchs and Prophets. Ellen White says, on page 454, she says, the people seem to be infatuated. She's talking about the story. Infatuated. The rulers and the leading men were among the first to transgress. Now you have to get this thing. It was the leaders and the rulers who were the first ones to say, you know what? We're going to have sex with these women. The Midianites, we're going to leave Israel or whatever. And we're going to be the first ones to transgress. Now listen. And so many of the people were guilty that the apostasy became national. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. What's going on here? The Bible is showing us something very, very important with leadership. People follow leaders. Why is a leader? Now the leader messes up, or the leader strays into sin, the people will follow if they're following that leader. And these leaders were held accountable for leading these people, Israelites, into apostasy. Now it got so bad. What did God do in broad daylight? Absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. What did God do in broad daylight in the verse? What did he do? Exactly. Verse, go back to verse Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the what? God says, you know what? These people are in such apostasy. Moses, you get these people. Turning their backs on me, I want you to hang them in broad daylight. Don't do it at night when no one is watching. I want you to hang every single one of them so Israel can see you. I'm thinking, like, what kind of God is this? What kind of God is this we serve? Hanging people? Man, you have to understand what's going on in the text. When people are being hung, when they die, they defecate on themselves. They lose all function. Nasty, horrible, gross. Young people just looking at these bodies dangling. Wait, that's what's going on in the text. Horrible. Because God hates sin. He hates it so much, destroy them all. Listen to what takes place. It says here, in the Sunday's lesson, it asks a question. What were the steps involved here in this apostasy? What were the steps? Somebody give me the steps. Do you see the steps in apostasy? Because you know how sin is. It's a progression. The husband or wife that commits adultery, they don't get married Monday and commit adultery Tuesday. It's a progression. Step by step, you flirt on the job. You might go out on the job. And the next thing you know, you're committing adultery. It's step by step. So therefore, the progression for Israel is sin. It must have been a progression. It had to have been. What's the progression in the verses? How did it progress? What were the steps involved here in the apostasy? Yes, they celebrated with them, exactly. They celebrate them, they compromise, so forth and so on. And the Sabbath school lesson gives the steps here. You all are correct. Sex, food, idolatry. That thing is crazy. Now this is very interesting. Very, very interesting. This thing called, because it's talking about immorality. Why do you think this thing that's reserved for marriage, sex, why do you think that is such a strong, powerful vice used by the devil? Why do you think that's so powerful? I want to hear from the class. Why do you think? Why do you think sex first? Why do you think? Because the first verse says they committed whoredom. Before they did idolatry and idol worship, what they did first? Sex. But why? Why is sex such a strong vice? Why? Why so quiet? Say anything you like. There's no dumb, what's up? There's no dumb answer. Nothing. Why? Why is sex such a vice? Okay. I like that. Self, the gratification of self, you know, we love ourselves, so forth and so on. That's true. Now this thing, sexual immorality. Now if you were here last night, you remember that quote, Auntie? That lady who was caressing Ellen White's hair? This lady, Ellen White, she wanted an interview from Ellen White, right? And Ellen White gave her this interview, and this lady, when she was being interviewed, remember Vanessa? This lady came to Ellen White, she held her hand, and then she started stroking Ellen White's hair, and Ellen White said she was being caressed. You can read it in Life Sketches, page 81. She was caressing her hair, and Ellen White said it was unholy. And she said she was happy when the interview was ended. I believe, like I said last night, that Satan was trying to introduce homosexuality to Ellen White. Now, you might not believe that. You can read it yourself, but read it. Powerful quote. She said, a lady was caressing my hair, and she said it was ungodly. Powerful. Noah? Hey, what's up? Tony, you said that? Yeah. Sure. Satan understands the power of that thing called sexual immorality. So many people fall by it. The Sabbath school lesson asks for people who has fell into that in that sin. Name some for me. Name some people in the Bible who have fallen into sexual immorality.
David.
First one that comes to mind, right? First one. Who else? David. One of the best kings we have. One of the best kings. Solomon, one of the wisest men on planet Earth. He wasn't wiser than Jesus, but he was extremely, extremely wise. One of the best kings, one of the smartest. Who else? Who else fell to this vice? Samson, one of the strongest men on the planet. High five, couldn't touch him. Extremely strong. The strongest, the wisest, the best king, all of them fell to one temptation, sexual immorality. See, Satan understands that. And we're going to look more into this in the lesson. Absolutely powerful. Satan decided to use that vice. The children of Israel decided to use it against Ellen White. Horrible. All right, let's see here what else we have in Sunday's lesson. Now, this text is very interesting to me. It's talking about falling into temptation. Here's a question for the class. No matter how weak we are, is there any excuse to fall into sin? This lesson asks us to go to 1 Corinthians 10. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. A very familiar text. Very, very interesting. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Come on, Noah, what do you think about this text? First Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Bible says here, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." What's Paul talking about? If I don't have any clue what this text is talking about, how would you explain that verse to me? I'm a layman. I don't know what's going on. Brand new Christian. What's going on? What is Paul saying?
God's never going to push you past your limit.
Exactly. God's not going to push you past your limit, right? Now, this is so powerful to me. You have to get how powerful this thing is. God says, when it comes to temptation, I will not give you more than you can bear. Then you have to get this thing here. He is saying whatever temptation you are faced with, you have the power to resist it. Now, for example, if my temptation is, man, there's something that's too strong for me. Say, for example, stealing. Say, this is too strong, stealing money. God will not allow me to suffer that temptation. Too strong. If it's a really strong temptation, if it's really, really strong, I can't handle it, He won't allow it. Won't do it. That's how awesome God is. But you know what's wrong with humanity? What's wrong with us? We're faced with the temptation. And listen to what happens. Listen to the text now. It says, but will with the temptation. Now he says, with the temptation, he's going to do something. With the temptation to steal, I will also make a way to what? What does that word escape mean? Exactly. I know it's a really silly question, easy questions I'm asking. Practical. Paul says, hey, you will be tempted, Alvin, to steal money. But there's always a way to escape. What's the way to escape, Paul? Turn your back from it. Don't do it. But the thing about God, Ellen White says, the steps of Christ, he can't force the will. Can't do it. We all have will. We all can do what we want. We have the power to do what we like. But whatever temptation you're facing with, if it's sexual immorality, just like the children of Israel, you always have an open door. Don't go to that girl's house. Simple. You're driving in your car. You know you're going to commit sin. Turn around. I'm just going for a Bible study, one-on-one Bible study. Foolishness. Both of you try to do each other, something's going to happen. There's always a way to escape. What Jesus is saying in this text, Paul is saying, quite simply, Paul is actually saying, in a nutshell, there's absolutely, positively, 100% no excuse for sin. No excuse. There's always an open door. You can escape. You can run away. You don't have to be bound by it. We just choose to say, you know what? I want to do it. I love sin. Let's go to Tuesday's lesson. Tuesday's lesson here. Man, I could stay on Sunday all day. Tuesday's lesson. Sin and punishment. Now it says here. All right. Numbers 25, 4 and 5. It says, it asks you to go back there. Numbers, go back there. Numbers
25. Now listen to these verses again. Verse 4 and 5. Okay, take the heads, hang them. In verse 5, and Moses said unto the judge of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Now go to verse 6. Now listen to this thing. And behold, one of the children of Israel. Now, before I get there, let's go to skip. Let's skip to verse 8. I want to get there later. Go to verse 8. And when he went and after the man of Israel into the camp and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the two women through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24, what? Now, you don't understand this. If one person, we have a few people here, over 100 people die here in this church. If someone here drops dead right now, everybody's going to be shocked. See, we just read the Bible. There are 20,000 people, dead folk, 24,000. You look, though, as far as the eye can see, bodies everywhere. And what kind of God is this? The man comes. Phinehas comes. He comes in this camp, he has a dagger. He stabs, he kills the man, and he stabs the woman through the stomach. Now listen to me. How do you think God responded to this man, Phinehas, killing these two people? Do you think God was excited or God frowned on murder? Huh? Why do you say God was excited? You got to read these next verses. Don't miss this. Absolutely fascinating. Go to verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, have turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was, what's that word? Zealous. Phinehas was excited to do this. God says he was zealous for whose sake? Man, this is absolutely amazing. God says that Phinehas, in killing these two individuals, Phinehas was zealous for God's sake. Now listen to what God says among them, that I have consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, Phinehas, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Please tell me what's going on. What kind of God is this? What's going on here? What's that? You went ahead of me. You're absolutely right. Go back to verse 6. You have to understand how bad this apostasy was. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Pause. This man here who was slain by Phinehas, he comes in all of Israel. He's bold in his sin. You have to understand how bold he is. He's bold in his sin. He says, hey, I can do what I want. I have self-rule. I'm autonomous. I can do anything I like. He comes with this Midianitish woman, was not supposed to do that. In all of Israel, he goes in a tent to have sexual immorality with this woman. Now listen to what the children of Israel are doing. Have mercy. In the sight of all congregation of children of Israel, now listen to what Israel is doing, who are weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Understand what's going on? The children of Israel, they go to church. They're seeking God's face in prayer. They're crying. They're weeping. They're at church crying out to God. They're in sin. God hates it. They see these people hanging by their necks dead. But this man, he decides, you know what? Forget about going to church.
Forget about the appeal by Moses. Forget about the sermon. Forget about all that. I'm going to do what I like. God is not going to destroy me. I'll do what I like. He takes this woman. He shacks up. Here comes Phineas and kills both of them. That satisfied God. Wow. What kind of God is this? God said, I'm going to give peace to him because he was zealous for me. Murder? What do you think about that? Fascinating. Donna?
I don't know if the play was everybody being hanged. I don't know if they hung 20,000, 24,000. I don't know if they hung all of them, but you can get greater detail in this book right here. What exactly was the play? I don't want to say anything wrong. But you read this right here, you can't go wrong. All right? Speak up so everybody can hear, please. You have to say something when something is not right. I like this. Yes, yes. That's true. That's true. I like what you're saying. Well, Eva said something like, they saying you got to say something. If someone is doing sin or whatever, you have to speak up. You have to speak out. And that's exactly why God says to Phineas, he was zealous. He was the only one. You're going to tell me there was only one man out of thousands and thousands of Israelites, only one that stood up for righteousness? One? That guy was so zealous. Phineas said, I'm killing both of them. They want to do this open sin in front of everyone. I can't let this slide. I'm killing them. Does it? God smiled on that. Wow. That's powerful. I don't know if smile is the right word, but I just say God was, what, satisfied? Is that a better word? I don't know if God, because I don't want to say smile because what does Ezekiel 33 says? You remember that? He doesn't, pleasure in the death of the wicked. So smile, erase that word. And you can edit that. God didn't smile, but he was, I guess, satisfied. I guess I'll say that. Okay? The plague was stayed because one man decided to stand up for Jesus. Absolutely fascinating. All right, let's go to Wednesday. Open sin. What do you think about open sin? We're going to go to another one in Numbers. We're going to go to another story. Fascinating. Yes, Will. Oh, that's an excellent point. Now, that's really excellent. I like that. You hear what Brother Will said? As he's sitting here, he's thinking. Now, this is excellent. Do I hate sin as much as Phineas did? I like that. To hate evil. Do you know that hate is a very strong word? Once you say hate, that's very strong. Like I can say, for example, you know, I don't like this microphone. You know, that's something. That's fine. I don't like it. But if I say I hate this microphone, you think totally different because hate is such a powerful word. And God says, hey, I hate evil. I like what Will said. Do we as Christians, as we're sitting here, do we hate sin as much as Phineas did? Wow. Man. I want to read some things here. I want to read this here. Talking about sin and what Will brought up. Page 459, Patriarchs and Prophets, she says, it was when the Israelites were in a condition. Now listen to this thing. Don't miss this. In a condition. Listen to the condition they were in that led them to sin. in a condition of outward ease, have mercy, and security, that they were led into sin.
Oh, you guys missed that thing.
Everything's all right. We defeated everybody. Peace and safety. We're all relaxed. As soon as they were all relaxed and everything was all right, here comes sin. You notice the same progression, kind of, sort of, when you look at the story of King David? What was King David doing when he was lusting after Bathsheba? What was he supposed to be doing, I say? Exactly. This guy, David, he was supposed to be at war. He's supposed to be fighting the battle. He's the king. David says, hey, I'm staying here. I'm easy here. Everything is nice. I'm in my mansion. I'm in my palace. I'm all right. He goes to that window. He looks out. He sees this gorgeous woman. Sin comes in. Let me tell you something. It's in those times when we're not doing it, when we're off guard, we're not praying, we're off guard, we're faced with that temptation and we're weak, we haven't prayed, we haven't had devotions, everything's all right. Dangerous. Extremely dangerous. It's all right. Now listen to what happens. By the indulgence, same page, have mercy. By the indulgence of impure thoughts. Don't miss this thing. Impure thoughts, man can so educate his mind that sin, which he once loathed, he meaning the sin that he once hated. I hate the sin, I hate the sin. Listen to what she says to the thoughts. The sin that he once loathed will become, what do you think the next word is going to be? Pleasant to him. What? Do you understand this quote? She is saying, for me, for example, man, maybe I couldn't stand stealing. I can't stand stealing. I hate stealing. I don't want to steal any money. I hate it. It's wrong according to the Bible. But she says, if I put my mind, you can actually educate your mind for sin. If I educate my mind based on my immoral thoughts, it'll work like this as it pertains to stealing. Well, maybe it's not that bad. God knows I have a newborn child. She's 6 months old. I lost my job. It's not that bad. God understands. I need some money to take care of my household. Is it really sin if I just take a little bit? And you educate your mind time after time, that thing that you once hated. I hate taking money. That thing you once hated? Soon? Oh, man, you'd be smiling, taking pleasure in stealing. She says you train your mind by evil thoughts, that sin that you once hated. You will love it. You will cherish it. That will cause you to go down, 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 down. Exactly what happened to the children of Israel. They didn't want to have sex with those Midianite women. They weren't into idol worship. They hated idolatry when they first went to Egypt. They weren't celebrating. They had just one God, Yahweh, Jehovah. One God. They hated idols. You come out of Egypt, now they like it. Foolishness. Now, with that said, listen to this. So much I want to read, man. I don't know which one to read. All right. Listen to this here. She's talking about the story, Apostasy of the Jordan. That's the name of the chapter. She's talking about the story specifically. And listen to what she says. What Satan is using in these last days. Satan is using every means to make crime and debasing vice popular. Whatever it takes to make crime popular and vice is popular, he's using it. I wrote here, when I was studying it, I wrote the media. Listen. We cannot walk the streets of our cities without encountering flaring notices of crime presented in some novel, what you read, or to be acted at some theater. That's why I'm so against movies. It's a medium Satan uses. The mind is educated to familiarity with sin. Once you go to the media, you're reading from certain novels, certain books, your mind is getting familiar with sin. That, in turn, makes it easy for you to fall into sin. If you're reading a novel about somebody committing adultery, Your mind is going to read that novel. You say, oh, it's not that bad. Pretty soon, you'll find yourself in the situation of Tiger Woods. That's going to happen. Oh, yeah. You read that stuff? Educate your mind. Listen to what she says. The course pursued by the base and vile is kept before the people in the periodicals of the day, newspaper, and everything that can excite passion is brought before them in exciting stories. We love stories. Talking about stories, I want to mention what I said last night. This lady calls me up on the phone, this lady I'm really close with. She calls me up, excited. Now, did you hear about Tiger Woods? The women he slept with, they're up to 9 now. Me and myself. All excited about what's going on in the news, totally oblivious to the fact that a Sunday law was passed in Germany December 1st. See, this is what's wrong with Adventists. We know everything else about the world, but when prophecy is fulfilling, we don't have a clue. She says, all that nonsense in the media, man, you're just educating your mind. Listen to what she says here. Exciting stories. They hear and read so much of debasing crime that the once tender conscience, listen, they read so much about crime. Oh man, this person was murdered. This person was murdered. Now listen to what happens to the conscience. Which would have, talking about a conscience, the tender conscience, which would have recoiled with horror from such scenes, become hardened, and they dwell upon these things with greedy interest. Do you understand what she's saying? When we read these things, these articles in the newspaper, and we watch it in the magazine, the news, all this murder and all this killing, our conscience. For example, when you hear about a child being kidnapped, I heard on the radio a few days ago, there was this lady, right? She was raped and then murdered, and she was pregnant. Do you think when I heard that news, my heart was broken? Do you think I cried? That's what I should say. Do you think I cried? You know, when we hear news like that, we should be in tears. That's a child of God. God's child was raped and murdered. We should actually be in tears, but because we live in a media-driven society, we read about it, we see it on television. She says the conscience. That conscience is so hard. You hear about rape, murder. For us, no big deal. Hear it all the time. No big deal. It's not that deep. And that thing called media. A lot of Adventists say, well, I need the news. I need to watch the news. Very interesting. Let me tell you what happened to me. Talking about the news. I went to get an oil change Wednesday, right? And the oil change, they told me it was going to take like an hour, so I went to Kmart. It was right next door. Went to Kmart, and I don't have a TV at my house, so I decided to watch some news. I sat down in Kmart where all the TVs are, and I'm watching Fox News for 30 minutes. Didn't tell me one thing. Not one thing about last days. Nothing. I learned absolutely nothing. I called my brother, and I said, I just wasted 30 minutes of my day. Nothing. But Adventists say, well, I need a TV for my news. That's not true. I haven't had TV in my home for a year and a half. That doesn't make me more righteous than you. I just know you don't need it. Talking about the media. You know what they say in journalism? If it bleeds, it what? What? No. They say if it bleeds, it leads. You know what that means? If they have an article in journalism and there's a lot of bloodshed or something about murder or kidnapping, if it's something horrific, it leads. People are interested in that. Let me read that. Let me read about the murder. Let me read. According to this, that information shall break our hearts. Powerful. She goes on to say, man, I can't believe it. Listen to this, page 460, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 460. She says, yet we have a work to do to resist temptation. Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices, they're about to cut me off, must guard well. Listen to this very carefully.
Teachers, we have 3 more minutes.
Okay, that's enough time. Listen to this very, very carefully. In order to resist temptation, you must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, have mercy, newspaper, reading, seeing all that murder, the movies, foolishness, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts.
Oh, you don't understand that. Do you know what she is saying here? If you want to resist temptations, you better cut off those movies. Know what she's saying? What you're watching. You want to resist temptation, you better stop reading those love stories. You want to resist temptation, you better stop listening to that garbage on your iPod.
That's what she's saying. But you know what, Adventists, we're so silly, including myself. You know what we say? This excuse I cannot stand.
I got to get close so you can pick this up. I cannot stand this excuse. Recording.
Adventists say, well, it doesn't affect me. The greatest self-deception. If you believe reading a novel or watching a sinful movie or listening to something wrong on your iPods that does not affect your mind,
deceive.
Ellen White says, man, you're teaching your mind, educating your mind, man. She says, if you want victory, cut it off. Now, some people say, well, cut it off. Cut off the reading, cut off the TV, cut off the iPods. That's too extreme. What did Jesus say? You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5? This is amazing. Listen to how crazy Jesus was. Extreme Jesus was. He says, Jesus, if your eye offend thee, he doesn't say patch it up. Just put a patch over it. Jesus, your eye offend thee, you better pluck that thing out. Wow. If your hand offend you, if you're doing something wrong with your hand, if you're turning the pages of those novels with your hand, if that offends you, you better cut it off. It's better for you to enter heaven lamed or maimed than the entire body burn in hell. Denying self. You know what that is? Jesus is showing us the heinousness of sin to the extreme.
Shall we all stand for our closing prayer?
Exactly. Only those who study the word.
Awesome.